Patriots getting set to take on the Green Bay Packers this Sunday night, and with more on that, we're joined on the telephone line by Christopher Price of Boston Sports Journal. Chris, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Rich. How you doing?
I'm doing great, and it doesn't get much better than Tom Brady versus Aaron Rodgers. Their love fest has been continuing all week long, and an interesting story with both of them that maybe in those early days in Northern California might not have been projected to be NFL superstars.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of similarities between these two guys, not just the fact that they've reached the pinnacle of their profession, but from where they started, as you mentioned. You know, we all know Brady's story, 199th selection out of Michigan, a guy who just, you know, who had to fight his way up the depth chart with the Wolverines. And, you know, Rodgers, there are some very similar stories there when you talk about his rise to greatness. And so I think these two guys are two individuals who can very clearly appreciate where they've come from and the fight and the struggle and all that they've had to go through to reach this point in their NFL careers.
It's been an interesting week. The NFL trade deadline came and went, and you wrote that you were a little bit surprised that the Patriots didn't do anything, not necessarily a high-profile wide receiver, but you thought they might look to get some defensive help.
Yeah, a little bit of depth at linebacker, specifically maybe a coverage linebacker. I think in an ideal world, at least what I was understanding, that they would have loved to have gotten a Jonathan Casillas type, and Akeem Ayers, you know, one of those guys who is not necessarily a star, a defensive centerpiece, but someone who could augment the depth chart at the linebacker position. Because I just think that they're a little bit shallow right there or at that point. At this point in the calendar, because, you know, you look at Dante Hightower and he's been in that whole item. So it's been interesting to see, or it was interesting to see what they did over the course of last week specific to the trade deadline.
And the rumors about Jamie Collins, did that ever make sense with the money involved?
No. I think that, look, you could have done it because, you know, when you're talking about these sorts of things, you could money around, but I think that the challenge might have ultimately been too great when you consider that sort of situation. They were able to free up some money when it came to the Stephon Gilmore situation. They were able to kind of transfer some of what they owed him into a bonus, and it, like I said, they kind of did some shuffling to create a little bit more financial flexibility, but ultimately I think it might have been too great because it's interesting, and Miguel has done a lot of work for us over at Boston Sports Journal on this. They are more up against the cap now than they've been in years past for a variety of reasons, including the fact that Brady's cap hit is a little bit larger this year, as well as all the injuries that they've had. The guys that they've signed, the veterans that they've signed, John Simon, for example, are more expensive than some of those rookies. So ultimately, to answer your question, I don't think it was worth it in the long run.
We're talking with Christopher Price of Boston Sports Journal. Rob Gronkowski did not participate in practice today, left his media availability a little bit early. What's going on there?
Yeah, it was interesting to see on Wednesday the fact that he did kind of at least appear to cut his media session short, a guy who's relentlessly upbeat, in my opinion. I think some things are gnawing at him, you know, the questions about his production, the questions about his health. I think that, you know, those have kind of gotten to him a little bit. And, of course, as we sit here and say this, you know, he's going to go, you know, catch 10 balls for 100 yards and score 3 touchdowns on Sunday against the Packers. So, but, you know, when you consider what he's been able to do over the course of the first half of the year, the numbers have been a little bit underwhelming. And I think it's a combination of things. I think he's a little bit frustrated with the injuries. I think, you know, they're force-feeding some other guys, including Josh Gordon. The other thing, too, is specific to the red zone. When you have a guy like James White who is putting up the kind of numbers that he's putting up, I think that you are bound and determined to use him and, you know, exploit those, you know, matchup weaknesses. So I think it's a combination of things when you're talking about his overall frustration level. And look, ultimately, and I wrote about this the other day, too, the guy's been so good to us over the years. I don't begrudge him bailing early on one press conference if it feels that way. So. But yeah, he's clearly, there's clearly something going on there.
You had a chance to talk with wide receiver coach Chad O'Shea. How does he feel about their situation, the depth or lack thereof at the wide receiver position?
Look, I think if there's a coach of the year candidate on the staff, I know they don't hand one out, but, you know, my vote right now is going to O'Shea for the turnovers that he's had to deal with. in that locker room over the course of the training camp as well as the first eight games, the preseason. I think he's doing well, and I think, you know, you have a guy, as I mentioned before, in James White, who's able to pick up some of that slack. Edelman is continuing to trend in the right direction, and you're getting positive results out of a guy like Josh Gordon. So they're not where they want to be right now as a whole, but they're certainly, as a group, trending in the right direction. Again, we're seeing good things out of Gordon. There's still some mistakes, but, you know, those are understandable given the time of the season that he came into the system. But I think it's ultimately headed in the right direction as a group. If they can continue to make progress as a positional combination, I think that good things are in the works for them down the road.
You wrote a really interesting piece about Tom Brady staying on his feet this year. He's only been sacked 11 times so far in eight games. You talked with Dante Scarnecchia about that, and part of it is credit to the offensive line, but also, as he points out, the system is responsible for part of this as well.
Yeah, there's, you know, sacks are kind of a bottom line stat, and we probably read too much into them, but, you know, that being said, they're down. And I think that's one indication that the pressure on the quarterback is down. And, you know, we can give some credit to the offensive line, and they do deserve some credit. But I think when you look at what Brady's been able to do, his quickness in terms of getting the ball out, the ability of guys like Edelman and, you know, to some extent Gronkowski and James White and those guys to be able to get separation, I think that's positive. And I think that all kind of plays into it. And I also don't think it's a coincidence. And I don't think I went into too much detail on this part in the story, but I think it's certainly, you know, worth bringing up in the context of this conversation. A good running game is very important, and I don't think it's completely coincidental that they've done well holding off opposing pass rushers when Sony Michel has had good games. And so it all kind of works together. It's not just the offensive line. It's a group effort. And one of the things that David Andrews told me was that's one of the reasons that football is the best team sport there is out there, because it's not just the quarterback. It's not just the offensive line locking it upright. It's, you know, the ability to have everyone else do their job.
There were some concerns about the O-line, but here at nearly the halfway point of the season, from your perspective, who's been the most pleasant surprise on the line?
Boy, that's a good question, Rich. I don't know if it's a pleasant surprise, but I'm always blown away by I'm always blown away by the consistency of the three interior guys, you know, that they've done so well together as a group. They continue to do very well together. That's not to say that there aren't breakdowns from time to time, but David Andrews, I think, has had a terrific year. Shaq Mason continues to play at a very high level, and I think Joe Tooney's had a heck of a year as well. One of the things that Dante told us the other day was that those guys as a group, the continuity that they've been able to develop has been huge. You know, they've played a lot of snaps together over the last couple of years. Those three guys also, it's worth mentioning, are the only three guys on offense that have not missed a snap over the course of the first eight games of the 2018 season. So, you know, that group continues to work very, very well together, and that really, for me, is the heart of that offensive line, that interior group.
Patriots coming off a win over just a god-awful Buffalo team the other night. Packers almost upset the unbeaten Rams. Didn't quite give Aaron Rodgers a chance in that two-minute drill at the end with the turnover. But what do you see as a couple of keys for the Patriots against Green Bay on Sunday night?
Green Bay is great when it comes to delivering pressure. And I think it's going to be interesting to see what Mike Pettine has drawn up for the Patriots. Pettine, of course, worked for Rex Ryan for many, many years, and those defenses always seem to be a thorn in the side of New England. So it's basically drawing up a way to slow down that defensive pressure. The back end of their defense is not great, but it's improving. And so I would imagine we're going to see a lot of quick strike stuff. We're going to see a lot of, you know, as we've seen over the first eight games, a lot of quick passes to the likes of James White, Julian Edelman. I think Chris Hogan continues to do well. I wouldn't look for a whole lot of dropbacks, you know, 5-7-step drops and, you know, Brady flinging it 50 yards downfield. This game is going to be one with the short and intermediate stuff in the passing game, as well as the ability to pick up the occasional yardage on the ground. So I think it's going to be fascinating. I think this game, I'll say this, Rich, this game is going to have more in common with the Kansas City game a couple of weeks ago than last week's god-awful game against the Bills, put it that way.
Nobody breaks down the Patriots better than Christopher Price. And if you're not a subscriber yet to Boston Sports Journal, my goodness, what are you waiting for? Get on board. Chris, we appreciate it. As always, enjoy the game this weekend, and we'll check in again soon.
Rich, as always, it's my pleasure. We'll talk again soon.
14 minutes before the top of the hour, our Boston Insider is brought to you every day on Downtown by our friends at the Ground Round. Happy hour pricing from 3 to 6 and specials during games. Great service and amazing food at your locally owned and operated Ground Round on the Odlin Road in Bangor.